Now, I don't know if I should really get a disclaimer at all about this sermon here this morning, but let me just say this. On the 23rd, July 23rd, I will be preaching here in Lorain again. On the 30th, I will be preaching here in Lorain again. I have decided through the Holy Spirit to do a summer series of illustrations. On the 23rd, we need volunteers to slime the pastor. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think we're going to have so many volunteers. I've always wanted to do this to you, you bum. But I'm going to share with you on the 23rd, I'm going to be wearing all white. And then the play or the illustration will depict how we slime each other when we talk about other people. So by the time the end of this illustration is over, I'm going to be standing here literally like I was in the color race. Is that what they call it? Yeah. You know, I'm going to have blue, purple, green, yellow slimed all over me, in my face, in my hair. So that'll be one sermon. The other one I'm going to do is I'm going to have a 6-foot-tall cell phone. And I'm going to have 50 people up here on the platform doing social media. And then I'm going to have about 6 silhouettes of people outlining with no faces. And talk about how Facebook is a misnomer. You never see the person's face. Not really, just a picture, a depiction. And then we're going to put faces on the silhouettes. Stay tuned for that one. How many have ever heard Anchors Away? My friend, I was in the Navy. I know what that's all about. We're going to share with you an illustrated sermon. I'm going to walk around with about 5 anchors tied to my waist and legs and arms. And the anchor of self-doubt, the anchor of inferiority, et cetera, et cetera. And it's going to be depicting what's holding you back from achieving what God's put in your heart. And we're going to just get anchors away. We're going to let them go, each one. It's going to be a great time. Have another one out of Acts chapter 3, where the healing took place of the lame man. You're not going to want to miss that one. That's going to be as well a great time. But this morning, we're going to talk about sinking ships. We're going to talk about sinking ships. If you just look with me to Luke chapter 8 for a minute, in verse 22. How many know that storms sometimes arise? And we don't know that they were coming. The other night when we had that deluge of rain, do you remember that? It was a couple days ago. Guess where I was at in that rain? On my motorcycle. Oh. You know, it started to rain and Tina was on the back and she said, oh, this is kind of nice. It's a summer rain, no problem. But then it turned from a summer rain to a summer storm. I dropped her off at Louis, and by the time I got back home, I was literally shaking and in mild shock because I didn't think I was going to make it. From a sunny day to a stormy life. That's exactly what Luke chapter 8 and verse 22 tells us. Can you put the scripture up? Do you have that? And I need the monitor on the back up as well so I could see that. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. Next verse, please. But as they sailed, he fell asleep and a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water and they ceased and there was a calm. Verse 25, and he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You know, when I think of a lake, I think of summertime. I think of picnics. I think of swimming and boating and having a great time. But this text depicts something completely different. Here's the kicker. Jesus knew the storm was coming. I've been to the Galilee. You could sail across it within an hour, hour and a half. It doesn't take that long. So he knew when he told them to get in the boat that within 45 minutes they were going to be in a storm. I just want to know what kind of God would do that. What kind of God would tell you to go to the other side, get in a boat, get in with you, by the way, and then knowing that in 45 minutes, there's going to be a storm that's going to arise that's going to literally cause you to think you're losing your life. When Jesus said, go to the other side, he meant it. He didn't say, hey, let's take a chance and see if we can get there. I want you to know you have a God today that's going to bring you through no matter what you go through. Understand this about him as well. Maybe he wanted the disciples to know something he already knew. That he was the Lord over the storm. You may be going through a very difficult time today. You may have been experiencing a tragedy or some kind of trial. Maybe some persecution. Maybe some loss. And you think that God has abandoned you. Maybe he's going to use that storm in your life to help teach you that he's the Lord over the wind and over all of the waves. You know, I believe today that if you'll get in your boat with Jesus, no matter what happens, it's going to be all right. Look at somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Now, I don't know who's going to help me with this microphone. Whoa, row your boat gently down the stream. Okay, take this one. All right. So, whoa. Who got this boat? Whoa. Sometime. Your boat goes a-rocking, and you need somebody to help you. Whoa. The question is, never are you going to maybe go through a storm. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24 and 27. He said, when, everybody say when. When the rain falls. Come on, say it with me. When the rain falls. When the wind blows. Say it with me. When the wind blows. I only have one question. Did you guys heat that water up? When the flood waters rise, and you believe like your boat is about to perish, and you feel like you're going under, and you're not going to make it, and the storm clouds come, and suddenly... suddenly you feel... like you are in trouble because your boat is taking on water. It's sinking. The clouds are ominous. The thunder is overpowering. And you look to your left and you look to your right, and everybody with you is as scared as you are. And you think, what in the world am I doing, and where in the world is God? Because honestly, it's kind of what we feel like once in a while, don't we? The storm just doesn't fall. It overpowers and overtakes you. The question is not this morning, are you going to go through a storm? But when you go through a storm. As a pastor, my prayer is that none of us would be overwhelmed with this storm. But I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, you're going to be overwhelmed. And you're going to be there all by yourself, and you're going to think you're going to die, and you are going to be in the middle of peril that you've never seen before. And the only thing you can do is say, does anybody care? Does anybody know that I'm in this place? Somebody throw me a rope. Somebody help me. It's starting to fill up in here. And it's getting worse by the moment.
Pastor.
Yeah.
Get the rope.
Yeah, thanks. I need that rope. Because when you are in a storm, you need a rope of faith. The rope of faith will bring you through the times of peril and the times of storms in your life. Oh, yeah, we're leaking. We didn't know there was a hole in the boat. That's all right. Give me some more. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called the rope of faith. Everybody say the rope of faith.
The rope of faith.
Let me tell you something. Jesus said in that story, where is your faith? He didn't say they didn't have faith. They said when you're in the midst of the storm, you need to find your faith. And I want to encourage you today, you get a hold of your faith. Why? Because a faith will pull you through. I may not be able to see where I'm going, but I know this. As long as I got a hold of the rope of faith, He's going to pull me through. I may not know where I'm going, but I'm going. I may not be able to see my end, but I know I have one. Because God is the one that holds the other side of the rope of faith in my life. Hold on to the rope of faith and God will pull you through. Can I get an amen in here? You know, sometimes we need to speak faith to one another. That's why church is so important. That's why your life and my life matter. That's why it's important that you and I talk to each other, hang out together on a Sunday. Realize that it's important that I can't leave you alone because you're in a situation where your boat's filling up, your life is being overwhelmed, you're about to drown, and you need words of faith spoken to you. Not words of criticism. Not words that you don't have enough faith. Not words that cause you to feel like you've done something wrong. But words that say, with God, all things are possible. Sometimes the rope of faith is just not enough. Sometimes you got a hold of the rope of faith. This is getting serious, guys. This is getting real serious. Sometimes you just need somebody to help you. So you cry out and you say, somebody, please help me.
911. Yeah, I got an emergency out here at the lake.
So he's calling 911 because he sees that I'm in an emergency. Listen, if you got a hold of the rope of faith, you better not lose connection with God on your speed dial. Because when you're about to sink, all you got to do is say, Jeremiah 3, come on, Elder Jim. Jeremiah 33, 3, call upon the Lord and He will show you great and mighty things. What do they tell you? What does the operator say when you are in peril? They'll say, what's your emergency? I said, I'm drowning. There's somebody in the house. My husband has had a heart attack. Whatever the case might be, you tell them what the situation is. When you're in trouble, when you're in a storm, you better get God on your speed dial, call Him up and tell Him what you want, and God is able to answer your cry. You let Him know, Father, I'm in trouble. It's all right to admit the fact that you feel like you're going to lose it. You know, it's really hard for me to sit in here and say, I'm not in trouble. I'm doing fine. Well, I'm not doing fine, and I am in trouble. And sometimes the waves keep crashing to the point where you can't catch your breath. And here's what the operator says. Stay on the line. Come on, everybody say that with me. Stay on the line. Why do they want you to stay on the line? Because help is on its way. Hallelujah. So when you're in trouble, when you're in a storm, don't hang up with God. You keep talking. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep calling on the name of the Lord. And God will answer you in the moment of your despair. Come on, give Him some praise in here. Hallelujah. Because He's a good God all the time. The Bible says it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He'll not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I think I feel another wave coming. I think our platform is being overwhelmed with water. I feel like the sharks are circling. I feel like the church has forsaken me. I feel like the pastor didn't respond to my text message. Where's he at? Why didn't he come help me? Where's the deacon? Where's the elder? Where's my prayer partners? Where's the women's ministry? Where are all the men? Give me some. Give me some help. Do you even care? See, you don't even care. You're just sitting there watching me go through my peril. But God cares. The waves are overwhelming you and overwhelming me, but we need to believe that God hears us when we cry. Don't hang up. He just said behind me, "Forgive me, Lord, for doing this to the pastor." It's all right. You see, you need to have somebody that can pray with you and get a hold of God in the time of your trouble. You need to have somebody that's going to pull you through with the rope of faith. And sometimes you just need somebody to
pastor,
pray. Pray
pastor,
for me.
Pastor, I got you. I got you, brother. We're going to pray. Everybody, let's pray for this brother.
See, now you need somebody to pray and believe God for the victory. Now all of a sudden I know that I've got some help on the way. I've called on God. I've got my rope of faith. And I've got a brother who's come up to see that his prayer is a righteous prayer. And it will avail much. And when God's people pray, God answers those prayers. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. And they took the time and prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Got me on their mind. Gonna be all right. Woo! Yes, it is. You can't pray with me if you don't feel me. You feel me? You feel me, don't you? I didn't tell him about that part. You see, the Bible said the Lord told Simon, "Simon, listen, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. The devil has asked to bring you down, but I prayed for you. Be encouraged." How many know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you? Come on, tap somebody and say, "It's all right if you're in a storm. Jesus is praying for you." So I've got that rope of faith. I've got a connection to heaven that cannot be broken. I've got intercession on the earth and I've got intercession in the heavens. But sometimes you feel like nobody cares. Sometimes you feel like you got to get some help from somewhere. You just need somebody to show you a little bit of love. Somebody please pull me up. Somebody please lift me up. Somebody please pull me up. Somebody, please, I'm drowning.
Here's a life preserver.
A life preserver. Awesome. It's called the love of God. Because the love of God will always lift you. The Bible said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Yeah, thank you, brother. Love will lift you when nothing else can lift you. It'll keep you above the storm. Love will keep you in that place no matter how many times. Why don't you warm that water up? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You can't get bitter, you got to stay better. You can't allow the trial to get you mad and get you angry. You got to hold on to God, because God's got to hold on to you. Love will not let you go. Love will hold you when nothing else will. Ladies and gentlemen, something that the devil didn't think about when he attacked you in the storm of your life. He didn't think about who was in your boat. The Bible said that Jesus was with them, but he was in the boat sleeping. Sometime when you're in a storm, you're like, hey, Jesus, wake up. Get up, Jesus. Oh. What's interesting about... What's interesting about Jesus is he's not worried. Jesus isn't nervous. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he ain't nervous. Say, he ain't worried. He's got it under control. Then why am I all nervous? Why am I worried? Why am I feeling like I'm losing my life? The master of the storm was sleeping in the boat. But when I can get somebody to get in my mess with me, I'll feel like I can make it. That's why church on Sunday morning casual attendance doesn't work. Because when I'm in a storm, baby, I need you to understand what it feels like to feel what I'm feeling right now. But Jesus will come to the rescue. These guys are not quitting. Don't get my pillow wet. Put that over here. Hold that. Jesus is not afraid to get right in your mess and get as wet as you are. He doesn't care if he doesn't win the fashion show. He doesn't care if you come with the best hat, the best dress, and the nicest suit, and the nice matching shoes on Sunday morning. He comes in looking as messy as you are because he understands that he's the master of the storm. And what did he do? He gets a bucket and he begins to bail out the water to save your soul. Look, I appreciate the rope of faith. I appreciate the fact that you're going to connect with God in an emergency situation. You'll intercede and you'll love me. But can nobody do me like Jesus? Oh, don't make me preach right there. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Because he's all right. What happened in that boat that day was Jesus came into the boat and he took my peril on himself and I gave it to him and I took his pillow. Like, you take the peril, I'll take the pillow. You rebuke the storm. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for your pillow. Thank you that you took my peril. You might be here today going through the storm of your life, whether it's a doctor's report that doesn't look good in the natural, or maybe it's a loss in your life and you can't get over it. And you wonder why, God, and you're a little bit angry at God. Or maybe today there's just too much month remaining at the end of your money. And you think, God, you said, and the storms keep crashing. I want you to know the sun is going to rise again. And there's a beautiful morning coming after the storm is over. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, preacher, you didn't know that I was going through the time of the darkest moment in my life. That's true, I didn't, but the Holy Spirit did. And he brought you this message to tell you. The rope of faith will pull you through. The direct line of contact to God will send the help you need. There are brothers and sisters in this room that'll pray for you. And there's enough love in this place that it'll lift you no matter where you are. But most importantly, you can do something today. You can give him your peril and he'll give you his pillow. As a matter of fact, God is here today with the pillow in his hand, saying, if you need it, come get it. With your heads bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to ask this question. If you say, Pastor, I've been in a storm and I need help, I need prayer, would you pray for me? I'm just going to ask you just to lift your hand up, hold it there for a second, put it back down. Sure, lots of hands. But I want to do one thing better. I want you to get in the boat with Jesus. No, I'm not talking about getting that boat up there. I'm talking about come to this altar and give him your peril and let him give you his pillow. So if you raised your hand, do me a favor and just stand where you are. Father, you see those that are standing. You see how their hearts are pounding. You see, oh God, the tears that they've wept. But Lord, you're with them. And I'm going to ask you to just come and let us pray for you. So if you will, just kindly come out from your seat, from the front to the back to the side, and let us pray. Other altar ministers, come and join us. This is a tender moment because God understands. And I know there are times when you feel that your life is too much of a mess to go to church. Now look, I don't think I'd ever come to church like this. But you know what? There's been many a times I did just that. And you didn't know I was so messed up. You don't have to be ashamed of coming from the storm to the church house. If we can't find safety and peace and love here and a rope of faith and somebody connect heaven for us and somebody to throw us some love preservers, then where can we go? This is the place that we ought to go. So I'm going to ask right now if you'll just stand to your feet and turn that up a little bit, Micah. And I want us just to close our eyes for a minute and just listen to the words of this song. Because God's peace is bigger than any storm. Just begin to thank God for his rescue. Can we thank him for his eternal love and for never leaving us nor forsaking us? Can we do that just for a moment, church? Come on, he's a good God, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's a good God. And those of you that are watching online, let me just speak to you for a minute, because no matter where you're sitting, God knows, hears, and he sees where you are. And don't you for a minute think that he's not there with you. He is. And all you have to do is call upon him. He as well has a pillow for your peril. So give it to him. Go ahead and give it to him. You call our office this week or send us an email online and let us know how we can pray for you and throw you a rope of faith and stand in the gap for you and throw you a preserver of love, because God will always answer the cry of his children. Now do me a favor, if you will, please. Would you put your hand on someone's shoulder right next to you? Can we pray one for another as these are being prayed for? So many people are being prayed for. God's answering prayers. God's answering those needs. Come on, church. Lift up your voice and just pray as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. Go ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, pray for them that they'll make it through the storm. Pray for them. Come on, pray for them. Tell them how much God loves them and what he's got planned for their future and how he's going to minister to them. That we bless them in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Every person is important. Every person, God's heart is big for your life. God's heart is with you and he'll never leave you. Come on, do you understand that, how much he loves you? He loves you with an undying love. He loves you with an undying love, and he will rescue you. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross. He was suspended between heaven and earth, and he bled and died. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he said, I'm coming again soon. Come on, put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. He will bring you through. Now look at me for a minute, please, if you will. Those of you that are praying around the altar. Church, I'm asking you this summer that you bring family, friends, co-workers, and tell them that there is a message at our church that'll be relevant to where you live. And you'll understand the principle of God's love and rescue. And I promise you, you'll sense and feel God like you never have before. I feel that way. You see, these messages were birthed out of intercession and Holy Spirit prayer. And I believe God's going to minister to each one of them. Yeah, we're going to have fun, and yeah, we're going to laugh, and yeah, we're going to see me get slimed. And I even thought about shaving my head. You say, well, why would you do that? Because Samson lost his anointing. And you think, I'm going to preach that and shave my head? That's where we draw the line. But I just want you to know that this is an opportunity for us to bring people that we love. So don't forget the 23rd. We're going to slime the preacher. Don't forget on the 30th. We're going to walk around with cell phones. We're going to put faces back on people because people matter. God loves people. Stop walking by people. Look at people. See people. Love people. Now, Tina and I, for a few minutes, and maybe you guys can bring our car around. Well, I probably should change. But anyway, I'm going to first of all go to the foundry, which is in the foyer there, bare feet and wet and all. And I want to meet you if you're first time or new here at the church, whatever. Or you just want to say hi, or you want to fill my wet shirt. You can do that too. Or maybe you want to comb my hair. I don't know what you want to do. But I just want to meet you. So right over across the way in the double doors, I think we have refreshments there, do we? Yeah, there's refreshments. And I think, do we have water bottles to give away? So if this is your first time, we have a cool water bottle to give you. I promise not to squirt you. I'll just give you the water bottle, okay? But I want you to know that we love you guys so much and appreciate your support for this ministry. Let's make a mark that cannot be erased. Let's allow the love of God to abound in our hearts. Let Church on the North Coast reach out to the community with the embrace of God's love. Let's exchange pillows for peril. And let's believe that God is able. Amen. So live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time on the 23rd. The 23rd, slime the preacher, all right? God bless you. I'll meet you at the foundry in just a couple of minutes.